Worship and thank the Lord every time that we can have this opportunity of preaching the Word of God and for the strengthening of the believers, for the salvation of the lost, and for the again for the strengthening of those who are discouraged, those who have been trampled down by sin and from the attack of Satan in their lives. And our church is the one that will be able to, put up the defense so that we can get back to the service of the Lord and we can be strengthened again in our Christian walk. Colossians chapter 1. This time we'll have the verse number 19 to verse number, verse number 9 to verse number 14. Let's read this responsibly. I'll read verse number 14, verse number 9. You respond verse number 14, 10, and then down to verse number 14. Okay, I'll start reading from verse number 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
That you might walk worthy of the righteousness of the saints, to be fruitful in every good work, increasing in knowledge of God,
strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us
who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, together, verse number 14.
In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Father in heaven, bless the reading of your word. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight. Thank you for the message that we already received. And also, Lord, we praise you and we magnify your name. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness also upon Julius and Arlie for their anniversary. 20th anniversary today, and I pray, Lord, that you continue to use them, you will continue to bless them. Thank you, Father, once again for your goodness. Bless all of us tonight, and for the rest of the people that are still on their way, God, keep them safe on the road, allow them to arrive here safely, and we praise you, Lord, we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Alright, so if you remember last week, we had our lesson about Colossians chapter 1, where Apostle Paul was not tired of mentioning the people in his letter, and he enjoyed telling the people there in the book of Colossians chapter 1. He talks about the description of the Lord Jesus Christ, his description of the Lord Jesus, and he also talked about what he thinks of Timothy, the brother. Also, he called Timothy his dearly beloved son in the faith. And also, he described his apostleship, because his apostleship was also put in question. So he described him and how it is that he was called by God in due time and in a special way. And also he gave description of Epaphras. And he also gave description of the believers in Colossae, the people in Colossae. And today we are going to continue and carry on with the rest of the chapter 1, if we can cover all of that. So Apostle Paul here describing prayer and giving of thanks. So he talks now about the details of, the importance of praying and the importance of giving of thanks. I believe you will agree with me that Paul was a man of prayer. Apostle Paul was a person that really serious in his prayers to the Lord. He was a great Christian. And I think also that he was an outstanding scholar. He was a model missionary. He was the one who started going into, in Asia Minor, and then he went three times. And then, again, we can consider that Apostle Paul is a person that has been a great blessing, not just to the Christian in all those times that he preached back to there while he was alive. But Apostle Paul is a great blessing to all of us, because as in today we can find here his letters to the churches, his letters individual that are part of the kind of a scripture that enables us to understand a lot of things about our Christianity, where without his writing, without the epistles of Paul, a lot of things will be hidden or mystery. The mystery, one of that perhaps is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment of Christ. All of that will become mystery to us. But Apostle Paul mentioned those in his letter, and again we consider him to be a person that is spiritually, morally, and intellectually, he is giant in the faith. He is a person that is, I believe if you are an example of Paul, it's easy for you to become faithful to the Lord. Because by all means, he will drag you to be faithful to the Lord. He will not allow you to be sloppy in your Christian life, or he will not allow you to be lazy in your Christian life. He will not allow you to have, to go easy in your Christian life. He will keep on pushing, and I believe also that, you know, that the reason why he parted ways with Barnabas, if you remember the story there, in the book of Acts, that he parted ways with Barnabas because of the bad testimony of John Mark. But John Mark, towards the end, Apostle Paul wanted him because he was a blessing to him. So in other words, John Mark became a blessing to, or became faithful again. He was revived and worked again in the ministry, and there willing to be used by God in whatever capacity. So we can see that Paul, the missionary, being giant in the faith, giant among men, he was spiritually, morally, and intellectually above, I believe, ordinary Christian. But he did not consider himself to be above ordinary Christian. But that is what we can see from our view, from our perspective of him. But in those times, he said, if there are sinners in this world, I am the chief. So he's very humble. But again, we can see that, but above all those qualities of Paul, above all those qualities is that he was a man of prayer. I hope that also, whatever happens to our lives, whatever happens to our Christian life, I hope that our family, our friends, or people around us, or people in the church, can also consider us to be a person of prayer. Because that is where the power from on high will be coming upon this world. A man that is frequenting himself in the power of the Most High. And that can only be done in prayer. Alright, so Apostle Paul, in fact, his life, his Christian life began at prayer. Without prayer, he would not maybe exist. Because in Acts chapter 9, verse number 10 and 11, you can find how this man's life began. It says in verse number 10 of the book of Acts, chapter 9, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord, in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, the Lord, he prayeth. You know, the Lord God from heaven spotted the man praying. I hope that when we pray, the Lord spotted us. I hope that you did not allow that darkness come to this day, tonight, without you praying. I hope that when you get up in the morning, visit the throne of grace. I hope that throughout the day we do pray. Because again, God will look at us, and God will be very interested in our prayer. Apostle Paul was spotted by God. praying.
And he prayed for himself.
In Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7 to 9. You will find there in verse number 7, it says, unless I should be insulted about measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And this is now the situation where Apostle Paul prayed, and yet his prayer was not answered. But he did not get discouraged. His prayer was not answered, but it's fine. He continued on. It was a serious prayer. It was a serious request. But the Lord did not take it away from him. He said here, he was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to perfect me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord Christ, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore, will I run in glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, this is the attitude of a mature Christian. This is a Christian that does not get discouraged when his prayers are not answered. This is a Christian that will keep on going even though the Lord seemingly not listening to his prayer. This Christian is a mature Christian. Only a mature Christian can really, you know, say this kind of thing. He was serving the Lord. He was serving the Lord above all men. He was serving the Lord and a servant of the Lord above all servants. And yet, when he asked the Lord, he prayed for others, and God answered his prayer in behalf of others. And now when he prays for himself, God did not answer him, but he is not discouraged. And in fact, when he asked the Lord for something for himself, and God did not answer, and he remained in the situation where it is so hard for him. Maybe hard for him to work, hard for him to get up from bed, hard for him to go out and walk. Hard, it's hard. The situation with him is very difficult because he has thorn in the flesh. We do not know what kind of thorn is that. Maybe it's coming from the armpit or what thorn or a tumor or somewhere. We do not know what kind of thorn in the flesh is that. But for sure, because he asked the Lord three times, for sure that must be very, very serious problem. Very serious health problem that will impede him in his movement, that will create problem in his mobility. And in fact, in those times, there's no car, there's no, when he goes somewhere to preach, he has to walk, a long walk. Or maybe he can drive it. He can drive maybe some camels, but you know the movement there. I will consider that this is going to be a very tough situation for Apostle Paul. How can he, fulfill all his attendances? How is he going to fulfill all his the places that he needs to go? But he still has to go, and that is really makes the problem for him is very, very difficult. And because maybe sometimes it's very frustrating now, and Apostle Paul had to ask the Lord, Lord, please remove this, because I have a few things to do. But the Lord just said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, because of that, because the Lord answered him, so therefore he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity. This is a mature Christian. He made it a point, and he made the decision that he will rather be the more excited of his problem. Because while there is problem in himself, he can rely upon the Lord. Lord, I have my problem again. You have problems with all again. He will just pass it unto the Lord. He said, I will rather glory in my infirmity. Why? What's the purpose? Why? What's the reason why he would rather glory in his problem? Why? So that the power of God may rest upon you. I will tell you, brothers and sisters, if you do not have problems today, then
you will go on with your own strength. You don't need God. But if you have problems today, and there is no way that you can solve the problem of your own strength, then it will funnel you, your activity, to bend your knee and ask God for help. And that is where the power of heaven will come. Because a Christian now bends his knee. That is what God wants us to do. Just like Apostle Paul, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, how I wish that we will have this kind of character, this kind of attitude, this kind of maturity, that when we have problems, when we have situations in life, then we will run to the Lord for help. And if the Lord will not help, we will say glory in the Lord. That is maturity. That is maturity. Nehemiah to sit down there because Nehemiah is nothing. Right, so here, Apostle Paul, he prayed for himself and he prayed for other people, and he is really a man of prayer. He prayed for the church in Colossae. He prayed for the people that, again, he asked others to pray for him. Because I believe he could not, he understands the power of prayer of other believers. I'll tell you, if Apostle Paul will pray, and lots of Christians here will pray, and he said he is encouraging others to pray for him, what is that? We know already that Apostle Paul is a man of God, a servant of God, and has an active in the throne of grace. But why is it that he's requiring others to pray for him? Now notice here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. It says here, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. Verse number 19, it might say, and for me, wow. He asked the people in the church. He asked the people of the church, please church, pray also for me. I think that is also my desire now, that the people of the church will pray for me, because who knows what Satan is planning, to come to me. Who knows what lies ahead. And Apostle Paul is asking the people in the church, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, he's praying for others, and he's praying also for himself, and he's asking others to pray for him. You see, he really believes in the power of prayer. He believes that there is really something that we can gain. There is something that we can accomplish. There is something that we can, get favor of from heaven above. And that is when we come to the Lord in prayer. And also he practiced the intercession, praying for others. Just like his Lord, the Lord Jesus is also the same. In John chapter 17, verse number 9, Apostle Paul is also praying for others, as the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for others. I pray for them, the Lord Jesus said. I pray not for the world, but for them, the believers, which thou hast given me. They are thine. And again, now while talking about praying, it is significant to notice also in this book of Colossians, there are only a few verses in this chapter, 39 verses, but you can see here that the Apostle Paul and his prayers were full of praises. While he prayed, he also had praises alongside with it. And again, we can study it now. We can notice that the praises that Apostle Paul mentioned here in the book of Colossians chapter 1. In verse number 3, while he prayed, notice what he said. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And in verse number 12, he said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. You see, he is praising the Lord at the same time. While he was praying, he praised the Lord. That's what we do all the time. We praise the Lord and we ask, you know, also our prayers. We ask the Lord for things. And here in his prayers in Colossians chapter 1, we are told here what he was praying for. What are the items that Apostle Paul prayed? I think when we know and we learn the items that Apostle Paul prayed for, I believe this can affect also our own prayers. This can affect our own life personally. And this can affect our own thinking. In verse number 9 to verse number 14, we have read this a while ago. Bible says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, notice here, this particular part of the scripture where Apostle Paul mentioned about his prayer and the characteristics of his prayer. There are characteristics there that will, you know, come to the surface. When you look at this, you can find that in his prayer, you can find there is persistency. He continues in prayer. I do not know whether persistency is a problem to you right now. Are you a kind of person that will start and keep on starting and then not finishing anything? You start, you know, putting up the things in the garden and then later on leave that and finish and then put up in it after a year. In other words, we are good in starting. We are good in doing things, to start things, but we are not good in finishing things. And I mean, we can see here in the life of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, his life was marked by persistency. His prayer also was marked by persistency. And again, Apostle Paul said here, we do not cease to pray for you. He did not stop praying. He did not, lie low in his praying. Apostle Paul here knew something about unceasing prayer, because the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Where is that? I think it's in Thessalonians chapter 5. It says here in Luke also chapter 18, verse number 1, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, Luke said this about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why we need to pray? Why we should endeavor and pray? And it seems like we've been praying all our life and then nothing can happen in prayer. Why we should pray? I'll tell you why. Because God said so, and God is saying that prayer works, and that prayer, you know, prayer is a warfare. This is a warfare. We need to fight spiritual battles. Ephesians 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You need to indulge yourself into prayer, because we cannot really win against this battle if we give in our prayer. If you do not continue praying, if you stop praying, that means we are already lost the battle to the enemy. We are told not to stop praying. Keep on wrestling, keep on, fighting. But the fight is not against flesh and blood. This is not about our muscles. This is not about our posture. This is not about our physical strength. This is all about spiritual, warfare. So therefore, you have to come to the throne of grace as much as you can, and as many times as you can. Do not deprive yourself of coming to the throne of grace of God, because the throne of grace is open unto you when you pray. If we don't give up, there is a great chance of winning this battle. There is a great chance of winning the battle. But if you stop praying, that is already a lost game. We cannot afford to lose, because what we are talking about here is not about material things. We are talking about spiritual things. And it might be the souls of men involved in this. That is why we cannot give up. We cannot give up. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, these people, they did not stop. They keep on going. They keep on pressing forward. They keep on, doing their battles, spiritual battles. And in the end, they won. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. They did not stop. They did not cease. They keep on going. They continued steadfastly. It's like holding on and holding it tight. They held tight in their posture in prayer. They held tight in their attitude in prayer. They come together. They pray together. And I'll tell you, in verse number 46, Acts chapter 2, verse number 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, you see that? They keep on pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, and then in the end, and the Lord. What will happen if you keep on pushing and pushing and pushing and feeling like, oh, nothing's happening, and you stop? You did not continue steadfastly, just like these people. They continued steadfastly. And again, verse number 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church day such as should be saved. Every day from then on is a victory. Every single day is a victory. Why? Because they have that persistency. They are persistent. Not just that they are persistent, you can find also in this prayer of Paul, is that it was also a mark by intensity. A mark by intensity. Again, we can find that verse number 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, look at the word desire. This is a deep longing. That word desire is a passionate longing. Apostle Paul was passionate in his praying. His prayers were filled with a deep longing. And there was this intensity. There was intensity about his prayers. In Matthew chapter 17, verse number 20, the Lord Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove him to yonder place, and it shall it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How is the sun going to turn out? But by prayer and fasting. The intensity of prayer. When there is intensity in your prayer, you can say to the mountain, mountain, remove yonder. If you are a young man and your girlfriend is on the other side of the mountain and that mountain is really bothersome to you, you cannot see the place where your girlfriend lives because the mountain is blocking your view. And you have the faith there, you pray, mountain, remove yonder. I do not know what's the reason why you want the mountain to be removed. But God said, if you have that faith like that of a mustard seed, oh, for the first time in my life, I saw a mustard seed here in New Zealand. I saw that mustard seed is like, it's so tiny. It's just like the size of, you know, somewhere's line. You know that in the hair? That very tiny, very small seed. And that is the only requirement. In order for you to get things from God, you must have the faith like that of a mustard seed. Very tiny. A grain of mustard seed. That was the prayer of Paul. It was a prayer that was marked by intensity. And also, in his prayer, it signifies that there is unity. He wants unity in the prayer. He wants unity. And notice here in verse number 9 again, the Bible says, on Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you. In other words, he said, we do not cease to pray for you. I tell you, it's okay if you pray alone. Because the Bible also encourages us to pray and to our closet. To pray wherever we go, we have to pray. By ourselves, by, you know, individually, or similarly. We can pray. But here, it's not just Paul who was praying. It was not just Paul, praying and making supplications for the people in Colossae. But there are many of them. We do not cease to pray for you. But I will tell you, brothers and sisters, as far as it's good for us to pray as a whole church or pray individually, it doesn't really matter, but there is a special blessing in prayer where other believers come together. There is special power in united and corporate prayer. There is always a blessing in prayer where we pray together as a church. That is why every month, every last Friday of the month, our church has provided for us a time that we can just come and with one focus and one purpose of coming, and that is to pray together. And by then, you will know our brothers and sisters concerned. But by then, we will see the problems of our brothers and sisters. And we can help them in their request. We can ask the Lord with regard to their request. And we can pray there as the body of Christ coming together in prayer. And we all come together in prayer. We come here tonight, Wednesday service. But there is a time here that we can also pray, but not as much as we want to, because there's not much time. But if we come together in our prayer time, where the church comes together every time that we have our prayer vigil, then there is a special blessing in that. There is a special blessing awaiting for all of us in that corporate prayers that we do in our church. Acts chapter 16, verse number 25. Paul can pray by himself, but he has along with him Silas. Oh, what a blessing when there is someone, you know, you pray to get, you pray to the Lord, and there is someone with you, with same mind, like-minded person, and servant of the Lord also, and asking God the same thing that you have desired in your heart, the same thing that He desired in the Lord, and you come together to the Lord and ask God, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and Sam prayed to God, and the prisoners heard them. Wow, the prisoners heard them. They are not afraid anymore. Now, if you go out there and you go to the people and you publicly pray, there might be a chance that the police will come because you are bothering the people, you are disturbing the public, and because of that, I will take you to the police station and I will take you to the jail. There might be a chance like that. But Apostle Paul and Silas, they prayed at midnight. Supposed to be disturbance because it's midnight, and they prayed aloud, they fundraised, and the people sleeping and disturbing their sleep, and they cannot call the police to take them to jail because they're already in the jail. There's no more to be afraid of jail because they are already there inside the jail. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to the God, and the prisoners heard them. This is what Jesus Christ said, that this is a powerful, powerful time when you and another believer come together to pray. That's what He said in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 19. He said this very specifically on praying with one another, or on praying with someone with you. That again, I say unto you, that if two of you, agree together, shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. There is power in corporate prayer. There is power if we come together, you know, but again, we have to make sure that we come to the Lord with a clean slate. When I say clean slate, there's no ill motives in our heart. There is no ulterior motive. When you ask the Lord, you know that it is a need. It is not for personal gain. It is for the advancement of the souls of men. It is for the advancement of the cause of Christ. It is for the salvation of souls. It is for, you know, for the help of those people in need. Again, you see here, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That is Apostle Paul's characteristics in his prayer. It is a beautiful characteristic there that he puts into this writing of the book of Colossians. But not just the characteristics that we are going to see here in this part of the scripture, but also the second part of it is we can see the content of his prayer. The content of the prayer of Apostle Paul, as we are told, he prayed for seven things. The first thing that he prayed is that these people, that Colossian people, that the believers of Colossae, that they might be given perception. Oh, how much we need perception too. Oh, how much we need that we might be able to see the will of God. The problem in our Christian life today, we do not know what God wants us to do. Why? Because we do not have perception. We do not understand. We do not know whether God wants you to go to Farmville to start a ministry, or you do not know whether God wants you to become a soul winner, or do God wants you to be a soul winner, but you just, you know, put that aside or brush it aside. All of us, God wants us, all of us, to be soul winners. But in your perception, it seems like maybe God has something else for me to do. I will tell you, brothers and sisters, we have problem here. We do not have perception. And the same thing is true with the Colossians. The Colossians also, that's why Apostle Paul specifically mentioned that in his desire. His desire that they might be given perception. Verse number 9 again. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9. He said, for this God, we also, since the day you heard it, do not need to pray for you, and to desire that ye, the people in Colossae, but now is us. You and me tonight. You and me that are here in this building tonight. God, Apostle Paul is saying, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is perception. That you can perceive what is the will of God. It's very important that we will perceive the will of God. Is it the will of God for us to grow in our Christian life? Yes, it is. Is it the will of God that we will grow in our Christian life? Yes, it is. Is it the will of God for us to know the Bible? Yes, it is. Is it the will of God for you to go out and tell others about the salvation in the Lord Jesus? Yes, it is. Is it the will of God for us to become a CEO of a company and become rich? I will doubt about it. Why do you want to become rich? Also that I can be 50-50 winning. I can have my company, my staff, I can direct them, okay? No work from the first hour of the day. You sit there, someone will come to preach. I think that's a good idea. But can you really do that when you have your own company? You see, we have that big thing. But I will tell you, again, it's not about money. Because the work of God, since the beginning, was not moved by money. It was moved by the power of God. It is the power of God that moved. It is the power of the Holy Spirit of God that moved the ministry. You see here, we need spiritual understanding. We need spiritual, insight that can only be given by the Holy Spirit of God in order that we might know the will of God and do it. It's so hard to get into the will of God. Why? First of all, we do not know it. But if you know the will of God, and then the next step is how to do it, that the Holy Spirit will guide you. Because by nature, we cannot really understand the things of the Spirit of God. We do not know. No matter how much you learn from the Bible, if you write it, it is not a guarantee that you know the will of God. But it's good to memorize the Bible, but again, it's not a guarantee. Because there was a man in Jerusalem, it's so learned, it's high learning, a doctor of the law. In other words, in our time today, a PhD. PhD or doctor of philosophy, or he's a master of the Word of God. His name was Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse number 4, Nicodemus, despite of his high achievement in religious matters and the Word of God he memorized, he could not understand the Lord Jesus. He said in verse number 4, Nicodemus, verse number 3, Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus says unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" It was all physical, it's all carnal. But the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about spiritual. He could not get into the message of the Lord Jesus. And in fact, he was perplexed. In verse number 4, it shows that he could not understand, he could not grasp, despite the learning that he had. And verse number 9, it was a bit of insult to his learning. A bit of an insult of his education. He said, he believes in verse number 9, he said, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" And verse number 10, the Lord Jesus said, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things?" You studied the law from your when you were young all the way now that you are old. And you are the one teaching the teachers. Nicodemus was the teacher of teachers. In other words, he was a professor of pastors. He was a professor of imam. Oh, there's no imam in this time. He was a teacher of philosophers. Nicodemus was very high in learning, but he could not understand the things of God. He knows the Bible. He memorized the Bible. If the 6 years old, all the way to the 12 years old, all of the children in Israel memorized the Torah. They memorized the Torah. And you can imagine how many pages are there to memorize. But they memorized those. They memorized the Pentateuch, the 5 books of Moses, the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And these books are big books. They are not small books. They are not booklets. They are books in itself. They are so large books. And yet, these children from 6 years old all the way to the age of 12, they memorize it. And they expect that Nicodemus memorized that too. And even more, because he taught the leaders of Israel. And yet, he could not attain to the understanding of Christ. Why? Because this thing cannot be understood by the natural mind. These are things that only be understood by spiritual mind. These things are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Never can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The word they, the word of God, the principles of God, they are spiritually discerned. It cannot be understood. If you go to university, you go to Auckland University, you cannot understand the Word of God. Because the Word of God has no place there in university. Otago, University of Otago, wherever in the world, Harvard University, whichever university in the world, the Word of God is out. So therefore, if you go there, you might learn some other things, but not the things of God. Because these things are spiritually discerned. Perception. How important is perception? And not just that, Apostle Paul prayed that these people in Colossae, that they might lead lives pleasing to the Lord. Their lives must be pleasing to the Lord. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 10, that he might walk worthy of the Lord, and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, this is what Apostle Paul wants in these people. And I believe every pastor is the desire that the people of God will come to the point where their desire in their lives is just to please the Lord. If you remember last week, we talked about, or last Sunday, I preached about triumph. What's the title of that? About Daniel. Daniel, he had only one thing and one thing only in his heart. He purposed in his heart. And he has only one thing there. And that one thing is to please his God. I believe also the same thing is true here. That Apostle Paul desired that the people in Colossae, and not just the people in Colossae, also maybe the people of Mount Zion Bible of the Church, that they live lives pleasing to the Lord. that you will only have one thing in their minds and one thing in their heart, that you will purpose in their heart, and that is to please God. And all the rest of the things in this world are secondary. The only thing that we have in our mind is to please God. Romans 15, verse number 3. Romans 15, verse number 3, the Bible says that for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That is what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the people that reproached us, the Lord Jesus absorbed it. It fell on him. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek men? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'll tell you, many of us, if we are not careful, we transition our Christian life from being God's servant to servants of men. And that can happen so easily and so soon, the moment that our goal in life will become to please men, and then we become or we cease from being servants of Christ. That's the only thing. When you become maybe a pastor or a deacon or Sunday school teacher or youth director or choir director or if you have bus ministry director, the moment that you are in position, and then you begin to please people. It's good to be to please people, but make sure that first and foremost, you please God. Because if you don't, then Apostle Paul said, he said here, do I seek to please men? Or if I yet please men, I should just be the servant of Christ. You will be afraid of men. You will do what you want. And that is going to be a very, very tragic thing to happen to a church, when the people will dictate what they want to happen in the church. You see here, the only thing that we should have in our heart and our mind is to please the Lord. And in verse number 10 in Colossians 1:10, Apostle Paul said that these people in Colossae might engage in profitable service to the Lord. That each one of us, if you are working in a company, you are making yourself profitable to the Lord, to the souls of men, to the cause of Christ. Whatever you do in life, if you are doing, you are self-employed, you are also serving the Lord. If you are looking after children, you are going to serve the Lord. If you are serving in the church, you are serving the Lord. Profitable unto the service of Christ. There's a man called Philemon. I know that Philemon, Onesimus. In the book of Philemon, I believe Onesimus was a runaway guy, a servant of Philemon. Philemon being rich, and this man maybe took away the money of Philemon and ran away, and then later on captured somewhere and put into jail. But the good thing there, Apostle Paul was also in that same jail. And then while they were there together, Apostle Paul wants Onesimus to the Lord, and then he gets convicted and serving the Lord faithfully in the jail. And then Apostle Paul saw the change of the life of Onesimus, and now Onesimus, because his sentence was only short-term sentence, he was sent back. And now Apostle Paul wrote letters to Philemon to tell Philemon, I know that this guy has caused you a lot of heartache and pain and trouble, but this man, before he was unprofitable, but now he is profitable. Receive him back. That's exactly what Apostle Paul did to reconcile the two between Philemon and Onesimus in Philemon chapter 1, verse number 9. Verse number 9. He said, and this I pray that you love, and that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. Is it solution? Philemon 1:9. Okay. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as all the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Why for this son? Because he won him to the Lord. He won him to the Lord in the prison. In other words, I have a lot of children now. I have a lot of children. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond. In other words, Onesimus got saved in the prison, bond, in bondage, in prison, which in time past was to be unprofitable, because you ran away with your money. But now, profitable, he's saying, his heart is changed. His love of money is gone. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But now, profitable to thee and to me. I will tell you, immature Christian is, you know, hopeless. Immature Christian could not be profitable or useful in the work of the ministry. That is why our church will preach sometimes hard preaching, so that we all grow. So that when we grow, we can be useful. Because if you remain a toddler in your Christian life, I cannot ask you to look after the children over there. But because you are a toddler in the faith, I cannot ask you to go in the kitchen and then prepare food for lunch in our Sunday morning service. I cannot ask you for that, because you might leave the kitchen and all the things are burning there. Why? Because immature Christian. I cannot ask you to leave the young people, because you do not know how to handle, you know, dating there in the young people. You do not know how to handle young adults. Immature Christian is not profitable. Cannot be profitable. We need someone that is mature. In adult ministry, in youth ministry, in children's ministry, we cannot just pick up anyone and then, okay, look after the children here. And then, the one that you are asking to look after the children is also a child himself, herself or himself. That plays toy. He or she might play with the children and throw this in the head. More problems than help. If you put immature in any ministry, that is why we look for someone whose heart is, you know, mature in the Lord. We want someone that is not easily offended. We want someone that will lead in the ministries that are, you know, that has understanding of things. Prayerful person. That seek the Lord's guidance rather than his own mind. Because the work of God cannot be accomplished with our own carnal mind. It takes a person that is a servant of Christ, a servant heart, that is serving the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. The will of God is that all of us should manifest the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. And you know the fruit of the Spirit, you always hear me and quote that verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 32. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And all these things, when we have this in our mind, in our heart, and we perform this in our lives, this is manifested in our lives, then for sure we can be considered a mature Christian. And again, in 1 Corinthians, in addition to Galatians 5, this is also very similar to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4. This talks about love. This talks about charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Only mature people can have this. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Vaunteth, that means will not brag about his achievement. Will not elevate himself. Not proud. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. It's very, you know, the behavior is, you can see, mature behavior. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. In other words, whatever problem, he will not run away. He will go there and help solve the problem. When there is a situation, this person will come in and be a help. Will submit himself with someone, okay, you do this, and then you go and do that, and then someone will do some other thing, and then accomplish things and bring that result into so that to help solution give solutions to the problem. He said, think it's no evil, reduce it to iniquity, but reduce it in the truth. Bear it all things, believe it all things, hope it all things, endure it all things. These are the qualities that God is looking for in a believer. These are the qualities that God is building in us. While we come to church, we learn little by little every time. We come to church Wednesday, we come to church Sunday morning, we come to church Sunday evening. The Lord will plant in your heart qualities. Little qualities. But over time, it can be useful in your life. Because you will remember those qualities. And you practice those qualities. And you can stop, you know, the word of Satan in your life. Because of those qualities that you learn from the Word of God. That is what God wants us to have. He wants us to be profitable in the work of the ministry. He wants us to grow. And He wants us to grow. And that is the word for progress. Apostle Paul said here in verse number 10, Colossians 1:10, he said, that he might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge. And that is the progress. God wants us to grow. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him glory both now and forever. Amen. That is what Apostle Paul wants. That we will progress in this life. The Bible says also in 1 Corinthians 15 that therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. That is growing. That is increasing. Always abounding. So, when the people, with the new believers, our desire for the new believers is for them to learn. And then, when they learn, they will observe. And then after that, after many years, these people will become leaders. They will lead. Not that after 20 years, 30 years in your Christian life, you are still there, not living. You must lead. You must grow. You must grow mature. You must progress in your Christian life. That is what Apostle Paul is praying for. That they might be increasing in the knowledge of God. And not just in progress, but also power. That they might be endued with power. The power from on high. Verse number 11. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might. That is power. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Apostle Paul is praying here that they might experience God's power. Why? Because none of the things that we think will be accomplished in the cause of Christ without the power of God. But without me, Jesus Christ said, you can do nothing. We need God's power. You want to be effective in soul winning? You need God's power. You want to go out there and preach the gospel to Jesus Christ? You need God's power. Do not go there without God's power. Because going there is useless without God's power. We need God's power. You want to build a ministry somewhere? You need God's power. Without me, ye can do nothing. Despite of all the knowledge that you have in your own, in your brain, despite of the knowledge that you have, all the, you know, the rituals that we have in our church, we know all this, we know what to do in the service. We start with singing, we start with prayer, and then we have a reading of the Bible, and we have all this singing again, special number, and we have announcement, and we have offering, and after that, we have the message, and after that we have the singing again, and then we have the prayer, the closing prayer, and then dismiss. And we know all that back and forth, and then repeated all the time. We know all that, but without the power of the Holy Spirit of God, without me, Jesus Christ said, you can do nothing. We are just like thinking symbols. We are just making noise. When we sit here, it doesn't really have power. It doesn't affect the surrounding. Why? Because we don't have the power of God. You need to have that power. When we pray, we know what to say in prayer. I can say the words that Jonah said. Yet in 40 days Nineveh shall be destroyed. In these 8 words, the whole city of Nineveh had saved. Millions of people. Hundreds of thousands of adults. And men and women. Plus children. They all had saved. With these 8 words. I know how to say these 8 words. But I don't have the power. Jonah had the power because he was led by the Spirit of God. When he said these words, all the city of Nineveh, all the people of the city got saved. We need God's power. We can pray the prayers of those great men of the past. We can say those prayers, but prayers without the power, again, is useless. We need God's power. Elijah is the same. In James chapter 5, verse number 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. That it might not rain. And it rained now on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You know why? The prayer of Elijah was so powerful. It was a powerful prayer. Elijah prayed and he got what he prayed for. The power again did not come from Elijah. The power came from God. It was God who answered Elijah's prayer. It's not Elijah, but God himself. God bestowed his power upon Elijah's prayer, and therefore, Elijah got what he wanted. Because God gave it to him. We must be endued with power. Another thing, second to the last, we have not just power, but also patience. Again, go back to our text in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Bible says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience. And to all patience. And this is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience. Strengthen with all might. Again, the word there. Patience, long-suffering. In James chapter 5, verse 11. James 5, 11. Behold, we count them happy, which endured. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, here, Apostle Paul prays that these people in Colossae might endure in the face of fierce testing, animosity, problem after problem, and against the government, against the society, against the people that they are living in, against their kindred, all against the people. But here, that they might do so with a gentle and loving spirit, that they might be filled with joy, even though they called upon to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Acts 5:40. The Bible says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. This is what they did. They do not care what the people will do unto them. They are focused in their desire. They are focused in their resolve to preach the gospel for the salvation of the souls of men, despite the governments against them, despite the authorities are now running after them. In 1 Peter 4:13, 1 Peter 4:13, the Bible says, "But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye might be glad also with exceeding joy." And again, this is what happened to us when we are going through suffering, and if the Lord will allow it, and then you take it upon your own, you take the suffering, and then you rejoice in the Lord, and you thank the Lord, "Lord, thank you for allowing me to be a partaker of your suffering." And that is maturity. And that is what God wants in us, patience. If we grow mature, we will have this patience. And we pray that we will grow mature. We will not remain toddlers in our Christian life. We are already been saved for a long time. We have been saved for many, many years. But we must grow. And we must grow in the Lord. Last year, Apostle Paul, in his prayer, if you look up Colossians 1:12-14, you can find that he asked and he prayed that he might be filled with praise. Now, it is important to notice that the difference between praise and prayer. There are some things that we praise that now, the Lord for the things that we receive, and there are things that we pray to the Lord because we want them. But there are things that we don't have to pray, but rather we will only praise Him. Because He already provided us the things that we need, the basic things that we need. He provided us. In 1 Peter 12, we can see His provision. His provision. And in 13, we can see His power that He already has given to us. And 14, we can see His pardon. And here, again, in 12, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who has delivered us from the power of darkness." He already delivered us. He already given us. And in 14, it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." The Lord already provided this. We don't have to ask the Lord for this. Lord, we ask pardon for our soul, sins of our soul. We don't have to. But there are things that we need to pray. So He separates the prayer and He separates the praising. So His prayers, His praying, and also He is praising. And this is the combination in this chapter 1 that Apostle Paul wants to show to us. But what a blessed and beautiful thing that he showed us about the praise of the Lord and the praise of men, the praise of believers to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we give Him praises of the things that we receive, and patience and power, the progress of our Christian life, that we should grow and we become profitable and we become desire and purpose in our heart, that we can only please the Lord, and we have to understand His work, we have to understand His knowledge, we must understand His purpose in our life. All this are the content of Paul's prayer. And what a blessing there that he has, you know, giving us all these characteristics and all this content of his prayer for our admonition, for our growth, for our everyone will be able to be useful in the work of the ministry. Because Apostle Paul desired it. And not just Apostle Paul, but also the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants to understand that our life can only be useful to the Lord according to that what we have surrendered and believed. So therefore, we need to surrender our life to the Lord. We keep on praying, and we also give thanks to the Lord alongside our prayer. Let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the examples of Apostle Paul. Thank you for working in his life. And Lord, what a blessing that we have Apostle Paul as our forefathers of the faith. That he accomplished things, Lord, that not many in those times, in those times of Christians in the past had accomplished in their lifetime. And Apostle Paul had shown us how is it, what is the life that is being surrendered unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, the example that he has given us is a blessing to all of us. And that, oh God, I believe that is what you want us also to follow. That in this life, we only have one purpose. We only have one thing in our heart, in our mind. And that is to please God and to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we will be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not servants of men. But Lord, help us as we go through this life and we go through a lot of temptations and problems and a lot of distractions in our Christian walk. I pray, O God, that we will remain steadfast and we will remain focused on the work of the ministry that you have given to us. Bless all of us, Lord, and thank you for this evening service. And bless your people. And thank you, Lord, once again for the Holy Spirit that taught us this day. Bless all of us tonight in Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Say one song.
Trust me. try.